This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Landsberg Golf Club at 4605 Village Center Drive in Palm Harbor, Florida, and was the home to the final foursome event on the Todd Wright Tour back on April the 1st. We will be keeping it in the Florida Golf Trail family for the 10th event on the Todd Wright Tour, coming up on Saturday, July 8th at Bloomingdale Golfers Club. That event will be available for public sale starting on Friday. Yes, today. Available for public sale at joebucksfan.com/golf. Limited space available because we pre-sold up to 80% of the tee times to returning players from previous Todd Wright Tour events. The Todd Wright Tour and the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast are always happy to do business with Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. I encourage you to play Landsberg Golf Club at your leisure. You will enjoy the greens, many of which are multi-tiered and roll quite true. 727-784-7333. Landsberg Golf Club in Palm Harbor, one of seven golf courses on the Florida Golf Trail, all seven in the Tampa Bay area. All right, I mentioned the golf tournament. Let me just start there. As this podcast posts on joebucksfan.com, you can simply go to the golf page at joebucksfan.com or enter joebucksfan.com/golf. And see the information for my 10th event. Since it is the 10th event, we use the Roman numeral X, and we are going to play the Todd Wright Tour X Games July 18th at Bloomingdale Golfers Club. I would encourage any of you in the Central Florida area who have been hearing about my golf events and haven't made the move yet to sign up, either as an individual or a twosome, a threesome, or a foursome, get on board. I'm building in more advantages for returning players. This is the 10th event, and the 11th event will be a private invite-only event, only available to returning players. It will be an invitational in August. So there are not only advantages built in to being a returning player on the Todd Wright Tour, but it's only $59 per player. We have a morning shotgun at Bloomingdale to avoid the afternoon heat, humidity, and potential thunderstorms. The Florida Golf Trail and Bloomingdale, great to work with me on that. So check that out. It is available for public sale starting now. And even though it is just available for public sale starting now on joebucksfan.com/golf, don't think you have a lot of time to sign up. As I just mentioned in the spot, we have sold up to 80% of the tee times in the pre-sale available only to returning players. Now it's open to the public, and when they're gone, they're gone. So check it out at joebucksfan.com/golf. And I anticipate this to be our, fourth sellout in a row. As far as fantasy football is concerned, the only thing I want to talk about in this podcast, I will keep it brief, is how LeGarrette Blount has landed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's first talk about what this means for the New England Patriots. Losing what has been a very solid option in many ways to score touchdowns in the red zone, short yardage situations, and probably the most significant for the way the Patriots play in the last couple years, we have often tried to look at the New England Patriots week to week in their matchup and think, is this a Tom Brady game or is this a LeGarrette Blount game? Now, it became more difficult last year to single out one or the other because both were so prolific. So there really weren't many wrong answers. But I think for many of you who play fantasy football, you have done this, whether you have owned Brady or you have owned Blunt. And we had, okay, is this a game where Brady is going to throw it 50 times, get 400 yards, 4-plus touchdowns, or is it one of those games where Bill Belichick is simply going to put the ball in Blunt's hands once the Patriots are up 2 scores and let Blunt shorten the game? Again, last year, there was a pretty good combination of both as it became more difficult to determine whether it was a Brady or a Blunt game. Well, now that's off. So this probably just heightens the value of Tom Brady and passing game options for the New England Patriots from a fantasy standpoint going forward, that they do not have this powerful, established, veteran first and second down, short yardage, red zone running back. The ball should be more in Tom Brady's hands to just dust opponents until we see the Patriots evolve a clear, different philosophy or another option that fills the void left by Blunt. Now, from the standpoint of owning Blunt as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I was having this conversation with a good friend of mine today who is a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and we agreed that there's a concern on whether or not Blunt will behave outside of New England. He really hasn't done that anywhere outside of New England. He did well enough to give himself value when he was a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but the Buccaneers organization did not want to count on him and move forward with him for the reasons of baggage and having to babysit him and other concerns. He wasn't much of an issue with the New England Patriots. In Philadelphia, I tend to believe, simply because Blunt is not in New England, that there is a chance that there will be issues. He's 30 years old now. That could factor in here. He is still playing for his next deal. This was not a multi-year deal. This isn't a big contract. So Blunt is still playing for his next deal. The offensive philosophy, I'm not comparing Carson Wentz to Tom Brady, but the offensive philosophies of the Eagles and the Patriots do have some similarities. The offensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles is a good offensive line with the potential to be even better. Than good. Blunt should be used in a similar role as he was used in New England, and I would think even more so, we could, barring behavioral issues that prevent Blunt from ever getting to meaningful games in September, which actually was a concern of the friend of mine who is an Eagles fan, that it's going to be a problem before week one. Let's say it's not. Then we start having the conversation, okay, with the Eagles, is this going to be a Carson Wentz game or is this going to be a LeGarrette Blunt game? This may evolve the same way it evolved in New England. The Eagles pride themselves on having a franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz. And I think most of us would agree, let's just take fantasy off the table, Wentz looks capable of playing in this league. He looks much more worthy of being the second overall pick in the National Football League draft than Goff does being selected one place in front of him. I think we could easily see 5 years from now, barring major injury, Wentz playing good football in this league for the Philadelphia Eagles and Goff not even in the league for the Rams or anyone else. So would Coach Peterson in Philadelphia use Blunt in a case where the Eagles do get up two scores, they're now getting the ball back, they're establishing this is our game with a possession early in the third quarter, and then it's a matter of, okay, let's use LeGarrette Blunt behind this very capable offensive line, let's keep the hits on Carson Wentz to a minimum, let's just keep moving the chains, let's run the clock, and let's get the hell out of here. It could evolve that way. I'm more optimistic about fantasy value of Blunt than of virtually any other player who has changed teams in the offseason. Last week, we talked about the Yahoo consensus rankings and how we had to get down to around, 27, 28. And ironically, the Eagles had the first guy who has changed teams at an offensive skill position in Alshon Jeffrey. Now they have LeGarrette Blunt, who factors in there. Just behind Alshon Jeffrey in those consensus rankings, if you didn't remember, didn't listen to last week's podcast, was Eddie Lacy with the Seattle Seahawks. And I'll just let all of you take the chance on Eddie Lacy. I stopped taking chances on Eddie Lacy a long time ago. And just because he's now in the Pacific Northwest doesn't change anything for me from a fantasy ownership standpoint on a season-long basis. And I've got to see quite a set of numbers before I would make an investment in a daily league or a great bargain price after seeing one or two or three games where clearly something is going well here. But with Blunt, my only concern is, how's he going to fit in the locker room? Any behavioral issues? Is this someone that the Eagles and fantasy owners can count on? Don't count on 18 touchdowns. Even if LeGarrette Blunt has no issues at all from a behavioral or a baggage standpoint, now that he's outside of New England and no longer wearing a Patriot uniform and coached by Bill Belichick, to expect 18 touchdowns would be ridiculous. There's a term in fantasy called touchdown regression, and you apply it to any player coming off a big year or a big week or two in terms of their scoring. It's only natural that the touchdowns will regress. But when compared to, we heard this week, Jamaal Charles is only 50-50 to make the Denver Broncos roster. There's still a lot of – the Raiders had a very productive offense last year before quarterback Carr got hurt. Lynch getting into that situation, if he looks at all like the player that we remember from two to three years ago, then sure, there can be some production there, although we have some of the same questions about Lynch and how he will behave in Oakland, as we do with Blunt, and how he will behave or play nice in Philadelphia. But there aren't a lot of players that would immediately stand out for me projecting a season-long fantasy draft board, but Blunt and the Philadelphia Eagles is worth projecting, knowing you accept the risk that comes with Blunt potentially putting himself in a position where the Eagles are unhappy with him or don't play him, or there's other problems just because Blunt is no longer in New England where there wasn't necessarily that much of that. This could work out. So yeah, I think it's wise to project Blunt as a potential running back option for your season-long league. I wouldn't put him in the RB1 category, but I would consider him strongly as an RB2. It's still going to come with some risk. If you're going to select LeGarrette Blount as your second running back, and we've got a ways to go here, but if you're going to, let's say you take care of a number one running back early on. Let's say you get David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, you've taken care of running back one. Let's say you do choose LeGarrette Blount as your number two running back. And the more I think about that, the more I don't like the sound of it. But let's say you do it. I would back that up pretty quickly with a choice for an RB3, where maybe Blount is, in this case, is 2A, and you've got a 2B, just because you're hedging a little bit. Look, if it doesn't work out with Blount and you back that up with another running back 2 on the board, and that running back, that 2B you select, works out and Blount doesn't, you hedge pretty well. You would be disappointed by the fact, well, I drafted Blount, say, in round number 3 or 4, and, you know, I didn't think he'd behave like this. Now I don't even know if he's going to play week to week. All right, but you backed it up with another quality running back that most consider a running back too. You played him. You made a wise pick. He's been productive. You still have two very productive running backs every week. You took the risk on Blount, but you hedged it by backing it up immediately with another running back too. So if you go that route, I get it. If you want to wait, I don't think you're going to be able to wait and get Blount as your third best running back. You'll have the Eagle homers, and trust me, there are some in my leagues who will select him higher than anybody else, whether it's as their number one back or their number two back. And then you have the owner in your league that just looks at, he had 18 touchdowns last year. I want that guy on my team. So it will probably be tough for you to get LeGarrette Blount as your third running back. But best case scenario, that's probably where you would want him. That's probably the wise value, because we don't know if he's going to play nice in Philly and keep himself in a position to be an option for that offense every week. I like the potential here. And I would consider investing a draft pick in a season-long league in LeGarrette Blount. You know, this is where in daily, hey, we go week to week. And we follow the news, and if nothing else, Blount being in Philly might be better for Blount owners than Blount in New England, because Bill Belichick, and the only other coach who does this is Sean Payton. Sometimes we don't know what a player's status is until after the game, where, yeah, coach, notice you didn't use this guy that much. Well, we had a bit of an issue coming into the game, and the plan was to go with and insert other name here. Well, it would have been nice to know that, but those coaches don't care about our fantasy teams. So there's Belichick. Will keep stuff to himself and how he's going to use or not use a player. Sean Payton does it too, as it relates to fantasy skill position offensive players and how he changes the depth chart, and then he doesn't tell anybody until after the game when we get word of it. And then whether you're a season long or a daily player, and you're like, well, you know, thanks a lot, coach. I really appreciate the zero in that column. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is teed up at Landsberg Golf Club in the Florida Golf Trail. As many as 16 different countries downloaded last week's podcast. 16 different countries. I would imagine that some of you, outside the United States that comprise that number may be military. And first, if you are, thank you. And I'm not thanking you for listening to this podcast. I'm simply thanking you for what you do. And it just sort of reminded me of the offer that the Florida Gulf Trail makes allows me to make to those of you out there, because the Florida Gulf Trail does have 7 properties in the Tampa Bay area, 2 of which are private golf clubs. Now, when I tell you about Landsbrook and Bloomingdale and Northdale and the Preserve at Terra and Bardmore, these are public golf courses, and you can play them at your convenience. The only time that those golf courses will turn you away is when they are closed due to maintenance, weather, etc. Or, for example, the morning of July 8th, if you just try to call over to Bloomingdale and say, "Hey, I'd like to play golf that day," they will turn you away because I bought the tee times that day for my outing. So when outings buy the tee times, you can't play those golf courses. Private golf courses are different. That's why they're private. However, they're not impossible to play. And I've been telling you here on the podcast, you can play the Bayou Club if you want to check it out. You can play River Hills Country Club if you want to check it out. How? All you have to do is ask me. No one has yet. And specifically, for any of you who are downloading this podcast in 15 countries outside the United States, and maybe you come home to Tampa to visit loved ones, and you think, "I'd like to get out and get that round of golf." That's what I'm looking for. One of the scenarios, all right? The email address is toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. And whether you are military or you are not military, if you would like the opportunity to check out Bayou Club or River Hills Country Club, just email me, and I'll be happy to put you in touch with a marketing director and perhaps even play with you and host you personally. The Florida Gulf Trail, 7 golf courses in the greater Tampa Bay area, and home to the 10th event on the Todd Wright Tour, the Todd Wright Tour X Games, coming up at Bloomingdale. 8th, Saturday morning, only $59 per player. That's it, $59 per player. You can register your single, twosome, threesome, or foursome now. Available for public sale. Don't have a lot of tee time, so get on it at joebucksfan.com/golf. Thanks for always listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.